Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1 with It's for Women. The car insurance you can sort online anytime.
A couple of weeks ago, guitarist Steve Cooney and vocalist Iarla O'Linnar joined me to perform a song to celebrate President Michael D. Higgins' 80th birthday. Well, we didn't have a lot of time to talk that morning, so I'm delighted to say that Steve and Iarla are back with me in Studio 8 of the Radio Centre to chat and to perform for us. So good to see you both again. Iarla, I'm going to start with you. Remind me where you're from. Are you Coolé through and through?
I lived, I suppose you could say, in the parish of Ballyvourna. There are a number of town lands, and Coolé is one of them, actually. And Coolé is special in that it had its own little village. I grew up about 2 miles from Coolé and about 4 miles from the village of Ballymacere, which is the central part. And I was in the choir from the time I was very small, from the time I might have been 6 or 7. It was customary to join the choir. My father was is now retired, 90-something-year-old, wonderful man. He lives in Coolé with my mother. He was the principal teacher of a secondary school there for many, many years. And they're very well, and I miss them.
Oh, that's great. But it's wonderful in a way that you grew up somewhere so beautiful. I'm going to come to Mr. Cooney's home place quite soon. But that you grew up in Coolé, were you very influenced, do you think, by Aoríadh, by Sean, and by the whole Coolé Aoríadh scene?
Well, I think absolutely I was influenced by the song culture in Coolé very, very much. I mean, that was my grounding aesthetically, musically, one might even say philosophically and linguistically too. And that's a lot of definitions. But I grew up speaking Irish in that district, and I grew up learning and trying to master the particular Seanós tradition within that area, for which it's well known. And of course, very influenced by the Renaissance, if you like, that Sean Aoríadh brought to the area when he arrived there in the 60s, because he really did regenerate the musical world of Coolé. And I am a particle of that, if you like.
It's beautiful there. Now, Mr. Steve Cooney,
yes,
you have lived
you?
Here for many decades, but you weren't born here. Tell my listeners where you were born.
I was born in Melbourne, Australia. But can I just say one thing about the particles of Coolé, which is that people don't often talk about the fact that it's the Dunnan country, the Ghaoghiach Danu, the Paps on the border of Cork and Kerry. And the archaeological discoveries prove that that tribe was in existence there, and the area around Gobnitz, well, there's something magic. There's something magical in that part of the world. And if anybody goes to visit Gobnitz, well, it is the most peaceful place in Ireland, I would think. There's just something magic in the air, and always has been for thousands of years, the centre of the Dunnan country. But yes, I grew up in Melbourne in Australia, very different. I didn't really know much about Irish culture at all. I didn't know any Irish music, I think, till I was 28.
What did your mum and dad do? Were they musical?
Yeah, they were musical. We were, well, you see, to be honest, they were quite religious, but there were different religious breeds. My father had grown up from an Irish Catholic family in Manchester. His mother died in the TB epidemic in the 20s in Manchester, and my father's father brought him to Australia to escape the TB and to get the fresh air in Australia. I remember my father saying the first time he'd seen oranges and bananas was when he came to Australia. So he came there for the health. And they were a Republican family on him. His aunt kept a safe house in Manchester. But then he fell in love with my mother, who was from a long line of staunch Protestant ministers. And that didn't go down well with his father, my father's father. He was disowned, and subsequently all of us were disowned for having a Protestant mother. And so I grew up as part of the schism between Protestant-Catholic schism.
Isn't that mad when you think about it now?
Well, it is, but it happened here all the time, and it happened in Australia. The Irish Catholic thing was so strong. The Catholic faith was very strong. When you think about the famine and people not taking the soup and would rather die and condemn their own families to death rather than convert their religion, shows how strong that thing was. But my dad then said, well, I'm Australian, it's an egalitarian society. And so he put the Irish side of his heritage into the background. He didn't want it because it was hurtful to him, I suppose. But partly that's one reason why I needed to come here and rediscover that heritage myself.
When did you come here?
1980. And it came about as a result of I had been living with the Aboriginal people, the tribe in the Northern Territory of Australia. I'd gone up to learn didgeridoo. And then they said, after I'd been through processes with them and initiation, and then they said, how do you expect to understand our culture? You don't even understand your own culture. Go back to the land of your ancestors and learn a series of things they told me to learn. So I came here as a direct result of their intervention or their direction.
And you never left?
No, because it seems like a perfect place. Actually, for a touring musician, it's the ideal size. Because when you're touring Australia by road, it's hard for a gig between Melbourne and Sydney. I mean, it's a long day's drive there and a long day's drive back. But here in Ireland, you can travel anywhere into a gig and get back at home if you have to. It's a nice size of a country.
Yeah. And you live in beautiful Donegal. You're doing an album together, I gather, Éireann, yourself and Steve.
We are. I mean, look, first of all, thank God Steve never left.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, like, he has brought so much to our culture. And speaking personally, he has brought so much to my musical world, my musical landscape. We are...
Spell that out for me. In what way?
I think in general terms and profoundly, he has shown the way in terms of how one might accompany and investigate Irish traditional music using the guitar in new and beautiful and sophisticated ways that just weren't attempted before. As far as being in a duet or a duo with a singer, I mean, he's without compare. It is hard to be on stage with anybody else because it isn't simply something you can boil down to musicality either. There is obviously an awareness of the music, which is profound and sophisticated, but there's a heart thing too. I do think Steve shows us up because he really, you know, it's pretty typical of him to point to the mythic past of the landscape of Coolay, for example, whereas in fact I might overlook it if I was talking to someone because I don't have enough cop on to realise that actually it's all around us everywhere. But so we do need people like Steve to teach us, to reteach us how to become aware of these possibilities again. And we have been playing music for a long time, but we have not managed to make a record. So we are, as the Americans would say, we're super excited to record finally in Kerry, hopefully this May.
Wow.
And you know, we've had to change the date quite often because of the obvious situation. Mm. But we are very excited about it. And it's going to be just so nice for us to finally make a recording together.
Where in Kerry?
Over to you, Steve.
A village called Harperstown, which was Ballygorleen in West Kerry, which Lord Ventry had assigned. It's an appropriate place for a studio with Donna Hennessy because Lord Ventry assigned that area for built houses for his harpers. So Harperstown, West Kerry.
And we both, you know, we both have a tremendous fondness for Kerry too. My people from my mother's side going way back were all from Kerry. Of course, my father's West Cork. That's another story. But Steve lived in West Kerry in the Gaeltacht for many, many years.
Oh, yeah. My dad's from Kerry, so I love Kerry. You just won a Lifetime Achievement Award at the RT Folk Awards last year. You joked at the time, Steve, I quote you, it felt like something you might get at the end of a career, but you're as hungry as ever for the music and the road and the stage and this new album.
You have to keep going. You can never stop. Like, it's not as if we get retirement packages. Musicians have to kind of keep them working.
Golden handshake.
But the pandemic the lockdown has been an interesting thing because we've been able to work to a large degree from home. Most musicians would have little home studios so you can record away from home.
Mm. Have you found the pandemic tough?
Well, I know it's terrible to say that and I know a lot of people have found it incredibly tough. But I've enjoyed the chance to take a breath. And there's less tourists around. I live in a beautiful part of Donegal and it'd normally be swarming with the tourists and it's quiet. And it's given me a chance to catch up with studio work that jobs I'd promised I would do for people and haven't had a chance because I'm on the road. It's a chance just to take stock. And I've enjoyed it. It's a terrible thing to say because I know a lot of people are suffering and they're right. It's true that people are suffering, but I've enjoyed the space anyway.
You, Éireann? Obviously with the gloaming, you can't tour and stuff, but how have you found it?
It was a change. I'd been spending a lot of time away from home in the last 4 or 5 years, so almost, if not more than 50 or 60% of the time. Then I have, you know, 3 children and my lovely wife at home, and it's actually fantastic to be at home. I have a studio and I've been working quite hard on stuff for the last year, and in a sense, that's been very productive. I think, though, no matter how productive one has been in these circumstances, and no matter how nice it is to be at home, there comes a time, hopefully soon, where you'll have to find your passport, see if you can catch that flight.
Yeah, it'd be exciting to be on a plane.
Well, yeah. Well, actually, I might not be excited about being on a plane because I don't generally like that much. But just to be in front of people and to feel their embrace when you're performing is a very special feeling. And it's just impossible to describe and impossible to duplicate in any other way.
Mm. Mm. I would feel the how we did one gig in Skibbereen. It was the start of the lockdown. The audience was fairly separated, but it was a live audience. But you could feel this tangible thing of the hunger in the audience for music. Mm. People are hungry for music now. It shows that people need music in their lives, yeah.
And live music, there's nothing like it. Everyone I know keeps saying, imagine we're going to get to a gig one day in the future.
It is important that we recognise that, because, as Steve mentioned it earlier, it's been a very hard time for people, you know. Mm. And for artists need audiences as much as audiences need artists. Mm. It is that point of connection that all the magic happens in there. You want to experience these things regularly, and hopefully we will soon again.
And it's appropriate that we're going to end on a song called Míle Buíochas.
It's another Kerry song, actually, from the pen of Tomás Rua O'Sullivan, who was a cousin of Owen Rua O'Sullivan's, from the Ivrahach Peninsula. And this poet specialised in spiritual meditations, oftentimes of thanks.
Okay, Iarla O'Leonard and Steve Cooney, thank you both so much for joining me. Araig libh le míle buíochas.
Gach blaig shade
Performed live for us this morning by Iarlo Linard and Steve Cooney. And we all look forward to hearing that album they're making together in Kerry this summer.